Good evening, everyone. This is Nobuo Calypso calling from the snow-battered northern Arizona. We don't get snow here that often, and when we do, our adaptability isn't as keen as we would like for it to be. It seems to shut everything down. But it is astounding to look at. Sedona is blanketed in snow, which is highly unusual. And the mists and the clouds have come down to join the earth. It's really just a beautiful spiritual place. But in Arizona, we're used to the dryness and the heat. And I woke up this morning to one of my hall ceilings that had collapsed because of the weight of the rain. And speaking to other friends and clients throughout the valley, we've all been dealing with leaks and reluctant Arizona houses, weary of having so much rain. But in the good news of it, within the last 5 days, we've gotten a full year's percentage of rain, which has filled up our wells, which is very, very nice. Now that I am here, I do this show only once a month because my motivation of doing the show is to help people through the months and the days and the years until 2012. Not that I'm an expert at this, not that anybody actually is, because we really can't determine what the forces and the energy in nature is going to be. But I wanted to step in with a more optimistic viewpoint and alleviate or try to ease a lot of the fear that people were feeling, because for quite some time I was getting a lot of fear-based emails, phone calls, et cetera, et cetera. And people who wouldn't even pay attention to such a thing were asking me where they could move to be safe in 2012, which is really not a thing to entertain in a person's mind. And if we get to that point where we have to fear where we're living to escape forces in nature and cycles that are naturally happening, then I tend to believe that we're swallowing too much malarkey and we're just listening to the wrong people. I don't think that any of us need to fear anything. With these earth changes that are happening now, nature's rebalancing herself. And people, as they've done since the dawn of time, are looking for answers within that. I would suggest not to take it personally. Gaia is a very large living organism. And when she has to rebalance, she has to rebalance. And due to the massive amount of resources taken from her, to rebalance is going to cause some conditions that are not favorable among the human species. But the planet itself is seeking to rebalance. And that's how I look at it. For Arizona to get such a extraordinary weather like we've had, I see as Gaia rebalancing, and I think that we should not take these things personal. We should not think that there's forces that are against us, and we should adapt and do as well as we can during this rebalancing, and remember to cut down on our consumption in each household and make more choices a little bit more wisely. If each one of us in our households decides to really pay attention to the impact in the environment, it will lessen dramatically the exploitation and the destruction that is occurring. We have to step forward and start saying we don't agree with a lot of things that are happening today, which a lot of us are doing. And all our praise should go out to each other for doing our part in helping to eliminate so much overconsumption. As we overconsume, we are, you know, depleting the earth of its resources. And remember, it's the corporations are based upon our wants and needs, although sometimes we are being, you know, dragged by the nose to have more needs and wants than we were born with. I want to talk about 2010, and what this year means numerologically. I've seen so far in January that exactly as the year interprets that it should be, it's already happening. Please remember, we did go into the new year with Mercury in retrograde. Sometimes I think that I use that term and other people use that to justify strange happenings in our lives, but this year started out with kind of a pulverizing effect for some people. But if you really look back on other years after the holidays, it takes a while for things to get back to a normal pace, if there is such a thing. And that's mostly because there's a large percentage of the population that put off today and wait for tomorrow, which should not be done. It should always work within the now. So there's a huge catch-up period in January. And if we really think about it, this happens every year. Unfortunately, this year, we went into Mercury in retrograde, and so communications with people were, very strained. So please keep that in mind. But this year, when we go into the year 2010, I'd like to help people prepare for the oncoming year. And so we're going to look at 2010 as a within the mystical numerology of the 2, the 0, the 1, and the 0. And that's what I'm going to speak with you about. As we approach 2012, within my wisdom and within my craft and within my science, 2010 it's just a glorious time. It is a shifting time because it is a year that is based on humanity and it asks for all patterns to be changed, meaning that all patterns have to be changed for the benefit of humanity. So it's going more into working with inclusion. It's going in more to working with people in groups. It's actually saying you don't have to stand alone anymore, but humanity's all around you, and let's be a part of humanity and our own humanity, and let's not look at things separately any longer. To me, that's not challenging at all, because that's within our innate nature. Inherently, that's who we are. A lot of us have been, we've kind of gone astray of that because of our individual strife and other people's individual strife that have made pricing and things rather difficult for us to meet on a day-to-day and month-by-month basis. For instance, the financial institutes and the large rates and the stock market getting 42% when they used to be at 12. But, you know, the over-indulgence of other people have affected us as the whole. So we're moving into a time that's saying that look at your humanity linked up with all other humanity is what 2012 is about. Those of us who decide that we don't want to see that are going to have the greatest difficulty, because the energy is moving towards greater inclusion. It's moving towards more compassion. It's moving towards heart-centered energy. And if we fight against this, it's actually going against the laws of nature, and the laws of nature will win. And there's just no getting around that. And it's not thinking about pitting one against the other, mankind against nature, although our sensationalism likes to think about things like that. For instance, when that jet had crashed, it was determined that it had run into a flock of birds. And the newspaper reports were so sensational in almost saying that the birds shouldn't be in the sky and that these birds purposely dive-bombed this plane and it was man against the birds, which really isn't the birds are in the sky, man's in the sky, so we have to have greater cooperation there. So maybe our radar or something needs to be a little bit more sensitive. But just because we're in the sky doesn't mean the birds shouldn't be in the sky, and this is the way the sensationalism came out to us, that these birds were these horrible creatures that caused this plane to crash. Well, I think that we need to seek greater cooperation, and if our gadgets can't pick up a large flock of birds, then since birds do share the sky and have been in the sky long before we have, we need to have greater harmony with those energies. So, of course, not saying that I have apathy to the people who transitioned from that crash, but saying that you can't blame birds. That's so Freudian. It's so silly. Instead of saying, well, look at this. Maybe we need to, you know, we're sharing the same space, so maybe we need to do something about it. Anyway, 2010, the vibration that's the highest, of course, would be the 2 and the 0, but it is interfered by the 10. And when it's interfered by the 10, that sets up like a pendulum swing, because the pendulum swings right dead smack in the middle of the vibratory force. So the frequency of the pendulum is very high. A pendulum swing means that when you work, I don't know how many people work with pendulums, but when you, or how many people have seen a pendulum, but a pendulum swings from one point to another, say from A to B. But what we have to remember is, in order for it to get from A to B, there's a middle ground that it passes through. So when we work with pendulum, we usually look for an answer of yes or no, or however people set up their pendulum work. And this is the type of year that 2010 is bringing in. It's a very large pendulum swing. If we choose to be a part of that swing, and let me tell you what I mean by that. When we work with a pendulum, we want an answer of either yes or no. Is this good or is this bad? When actually it's probably within the middle, which is called the place of self-organization or the place of organization or the sweet spot, which is the most preferable. But using rational logic thinking, we want a greater definitive answer. We want a greater determination for ourselves. Is it yes or no? And this is kind of how this year is going to swing for us. It's going to be a big yes or no if we do not look at the sweet spot within the middle of the pendulum. Now, the sweet spot of self-organization is we have to be able to bridge those two opposite points. We have to bridge between A and B. So we go into what's called the interval between the A and B. The interval is also known as the sweet spot or the place of self-organization. What's happened over many, many, many years due to the seeking of too many immediate gratifications, the seeking for instant gratifications, the individual strife, is that we have created a large pendulum in our lives we have gotten involved in we've gotten involved with the sweep of our anthropological race. We've gotten caught up in this Koyaanisqatsi movement for our individual strife, and felt as if, well, this is the only way that I can make it, that I could survive in the world. I have to come upon a job that brings me a great deal of money, because, you know, houses start at, what, $250,000 for a decent house that isn't going to fall in a sinkhole. So we feel that individual strife and that pressure. So we jumped on the A of the pendulum for many, 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 many years. And we've let go of the position B. And A is not greater than B, and B is not greater than A. And when we let go of the B, we've let go of our passion. We've let go of our heart. We've let go of our intuition. We've let go of our refinement. We've let go of our aloha. We've let go of our compassion. We've let go of our love in order to get to that other point of the pendulum. And so there's a lot of people that are on this pendulum swing. And that means that on the B, their heart is filled with their passion, with their intuition, with their compassion, but it is covered over so much by the movement towards the A, which is, you know, being part of the herds and the individual strife. So we've all kind of have gathered at this A, and you can actually see what an imbalance it's created. So last year in 2009, it was a difficult year for a lot of people, but 2009 said, if you don't need this in your life, it's no longer going to be there. So it was a clearing of house, so to speak, for the things that mankind really doesn't need. And we don't need half the things that are existing, you know, in 2005, 6, 7. We didn't need this quantity of stuff. We just did not need this large quantity that was creating a lot of overconsumption, and that was really bolstered an immediate gratification life. And we got so far away from the center of ourselves. So 2009, although I have great empathy for the trouble that, and not that a year of vibration chooses to cause trouble at all, because nature is very benevolent, and this must be remembered. But in 2009, a lot of things were to be let go of. The people who really scrambled to hold on to things that no longer would have any value in their life had a very difficult time. And this also means viewpoints, opinions, letting go of old ways of thinking that really don't resonate within our center. And that was a big testing in 2009. There was a huge testing of, is this spiritual worth? Is this type of thinking, is this type of work, is this type of movement benefiting who I am as a photon, as a being of light? Because we have to remember, spirit is light, spirit is life, mental is a builder, and the physical is a result. So a lot of people got questioned about this, questioned inside. It was a great big huge question mark that was over top of all of us. And we were to let go of anything and everything that didn't have any importance for our spiritual involution. And if we didn't let go of it, well, it was let go for us. which seemed very damaging at the time, but a lot of people now, today, realize, you know, I really, really, really had a hard time last year, but I feel as if I'm more enlightened. I feel as if I've grown. because it's what's happened is a lot of the preoccupations, distraction, hindrances were let go of for us. We didn't need to be preoccupied with these things. We didn't need to be preoccupied with these thoughts anymore. We had to go to a higher octave. And sometimes that comes to us in world events. You know, something like what's happening in Haiti. Sometimes world events will become so large that we let go of our own preoccupations and our hindrances to really feel the empathy within the moment of what's happening within our own humanity on a different shoreline. So, and then we look at this large picture and say, you know, I'm really not doing that bad after all. And then we apply our empathy towards the humanity within Haiti. So 2009, I would never say that there's forces that will make things difficult, but within nature there are pressure forces that come in when quantity is too high, and I think quantity has just gotten astronomically high. So I just see it as a movement of in nature that, of course, nature is going to come in and start lowering down this quantity, because when the quantity gets too high, that could be quite destructive. So 2010 comes along, boom, we're in a pendulum swing. Now, in the pendulum swing, it would really be best to not look at things as challenging and not look at things as conflicts. Open yourselves to any and all opportunities that are available to you. Instead of looking at my life is so challenged, look for the opportunity within that change. And that's the greatest advice that I could give to you, is do not look at the challenges. Don't pay attention. Don't get conditioned and bamboozled by the other energies around us that are trying to make us believe something that isn't true. But look for the opportunity within the change. For instance, people that have lost a job that they very well could not stand for years, they have this hopeless self-sympathy and fear. But what I've seen is that the same people, after they pick themselves back up, have been actually able to create opportunities for themselves because the old opportunities were not there any longer. And this is what 2010 is about, is that new opportunities are opening through change. And to take a hold of these new opportunities, it is highly advisable to go with the passion of heart. Because we are moving, remember, we're in a large feminine vibration that is the intuition and compassion of heart. The intuition, the compassion, the inclusion, the self-preservation, the protection, all of the great feminine yin qualities are around us very strongly. So we want to use those energies more, heart energy more. So if we've been working as a Safeway stock clerk, where we go in at graveyard shift and open up these boxes, and we've been doing this for about a year and a half, we absolutely cannot stand being in the back with all that packaging anymore. If we lose the job in 2010, don't go looking for another position as box girl or box boy in a Safeway. Come out into the open where we should be anyway, and look at your heart and ask, well, why didn't I like that job? What did I feel was greater for me? Well, for one thing, to be more out in public, and for another, to serve people. Okay, so switch. That has just opened up an opportunity for you. Get into a more service-orientated position where you could begin serving other people, and that could be through medical, through the alternatives, through counseling, through almost anything. This is what's going to This is what 2010 is about. It's asking people, okay, did you let go of the things you needed to let go of? And if you didn't, then those things will make that weight on the A side of the pendulum swing much, much, much heavier. And we don't want that. We don't want to be carrying all this baggage with us. We don't want to be carrying, you know, these lead-filled trunks with us only because we don't want to let go. In 2010, it's best to start off this month in forgiving and letting go, just letting go of old viewpoints, old hurts, and moving forward. And embracing the change to bring forth new opportunity. In ancient Hawaii, they had this wonderful, wonderful story called The Ball of Light. And it's just this beautiful story. And when I'm with the right energies in groups, I'll share the story with them. But the Ball of Light says that when we're born, we're born free of sin, and that exists in all of the old spirituality before the major religions stomped on the scene. It was never seen that anything alive was born with sin, fear, or guilt. That is very, very, very false, and those people were false prophets, and don't believe it for a minute. In fact, that's three things that should be let go of, sin, fear, and guilt. I mean, just let go of this as quickly as possible. But anyway, in the Ball of Light, we were all born innocent, and we were all born new, and we're born with a ball of light in front of us. And this ball of light is filled with the light from the universe. And as time goes by, if an individual begins to feel resentment and begins to feel envy, a stone appears in the ball of light. And when a stone appears in the ball of light, that stone takes up that portion, that area where light should be. And as time goes by, if we remain within that negative, more stones fall into this ball of light. And as more stones fall in, it takes up the space where the light should be. So anger, envy, hatred, jealousy, resentment, strife, worry, all these create these stones. And if the ball of light fills up with stones, then we ourselves, who are seated before the ball of light, can very possibly turn into a stone too. And a stone is heavy, and a stone doesn't grow, and a stone is dense. But any time we want to, we can take this bowl of stones and turn it upside down and dump the stones out, which will refill once again with a ball of light. Please, please always keep this in mind. And when we empty out those stones, we're emptying out past hurts, past fears, past resentments, and we are in our own being of beautiful, wonderful light that is all around us within the benevolence of the universe and energies. So, this January, if there are any stones in your bowl, I would highly suggest turning that bowl upside down, giving forgiveness where forgiveness should be, and letting go of any kind of negativity that's weighing you down, that's weighing down your organic body. 2010 is going to be a year that brings forth change for greater growth. So let's look at 2010 a little bit more and see if you decide to turn your ball of light upside down now, because right now is your only moment of power, not tomorrow, not, well, maybe in June. Only now is your moment. In the universal law, if you decide to forgive and have mercy for yourself and take action within this moment to change behavior, you're immediately forgiven and uplifted within self to go to a higher octave. So what we should look upon is in 2010, if we stay within the A of the pendulum swing, then we're going to be caught with those heavy rocks. And what we should actually do is enjoy the middle spot or the interval between A and B. We need to pull from B and not leave everything stranded and separated over in the B part of the swing, but pull that through the sweet spot of self-organization to A. 2010, when you look at the whole pattern, the 10 will slowly move into the 1, and then it becomes a 30. And when it becomes a 30, it becomes a 3. But zeros in mystical numerology are very, very, very important. And in 2010, you have the one that is having the zeros, the void on the other side of it, and the void's very, very, it can seem very testing, because the zero is the, it is the void, it is the God within us. It's where all the answers lie, within the void. The zero is a highly, highly magical and sacred pattern that the Catholic Church just, they took that puppy out, because the magic that exists within the zero is the boundlessness within the void. So when these patterns move over in their movement, which is to say, if on your pendulum swing you decide to go into the middle ground, you're going to find your place within the three, which is in the zero. And when you find your place in the three, you're finding your place within the 30, which is completion. And completion is a large part of the movement this year, is to finally have that completion of blending the one with the two, the yin and the yang, to blend these two together. And this is a strong, strong year for this. And there's going to be a lot of things happening in politics. I mean, just there's going to be the old powers that be that's going to fight against anything that's going to change, because they don't want to move over there and have completion within the 30. So there's going to be a lot of choices for these people to make, because if they can't go with this movement to move the one and the two to complete the triad of the three, the one, two, and three, there's going to be many, many opportunities for them to reconsider. When you go into the three energy, you're going into self-creativity, self-expression. You're going into the sun energy, the light. You're going into music, dance, writing, public speaking. Communications is very large within the three energy. Optimism, enthusiasm, resourcefulness, greater ambition from the heart. So for us to have a completion this year is to always, always, always look for the middle ground that exists of the three. Because the pendulum, when you look at it, when you have point A and point B, it comes from the tip. And it does create a triangle. So we want to create that triad this year. We want to make sure the triad is complete. The movement of the triad, there must be completion within heart and mind energy this year. And there's just no getting around this. One cannot be hiding away in the secrets of their heart, pushing and pushing and pushing within the movement of energy that's basically falling over a precipice. But one must bring your heart energy out to be the focus of your center to finally decide what it is I want to do with my life that will benefit other people and bring forth that communication and self-expression. That way, the B energy lines up with the A energy and completes the triad within the pendulum swing. This triad must be completed this year. It is very, very, very important for this triad to be completed. Look for a greater self-expression. Look for a greater self-creativity. Look for the passions from your heart. Open up your centers more often. As a reminder, if anyone needs help with this, I do counsel with people, and I do invite people, groups and people into my home, and I work with them, you know, a few days or week-long basis, however long it takes. That's just to keep in mind. But we're working specifically with the triune man this year. We're working with a full completion of the 1, 2, and 3 energies, which are the most sacred energies, the sacred numbers or symbols within sacred geometry. They're the most important. 1, 2, and 3 is a completion of self. So this year, as the pendulum swing, if it's swinging for you, please look at turning it into a triad to have completion of self. Use the heart energy first to balance with the head energy. That's the male and the female, or the yin and yang, and balance these together. Don't have the head war over the heart. Oh, no, I just can't do that because I need to make this money. When we go through the passion of heart, we're living in spirit. Mental is a builder. Physical is the result. Don't fear taking that step into your own void, into the own boundlessness. And please don't see limitations. This is not a year to start looking at limitations, to start making excuses. Well, I can't do that because... And people can have this long laundry list of why they can't do things more so than why they should. It's just this quick thought of, well, maybe I should write a book, or maybe I should start a group, or maybe I should be in a more service-orientated industry, or maybe I should become part of a charity. Maybe I should gather people together for a workshop. Instead of doing this, you know, that's the one little thought on the B. But then in the A, they have this long list of why they can't do that. And so we have to look at a term that's called Kala, which says that there are no limitations. There are no limitations and there are no restrictions. And most, for you to get a really good sense of this is we're in an infinite universe that has no limitations. There's no boundaries to the end of the universe. I mean, we don't have, any scientists that have found any boundaries to the, and they're not going to, because it is ever expansive and ever reaching outward. So if we're in a universe that is infinite within its movement, then we should be infinite within our own movement because we're a microcosm of the macrocosm. So when we experience, if we experience change this year, look for the opportunities within the change. And don't take heavy rocks to weigh you down on the B of the pendulum, because it will just turn you into dark, dense matter. Go forth slowly into the beautiful interval that will complete this pendulum for you and create the sacred triangle. Go forth with the opportunity of change with the optimism and joy of heart. And if you don't have optimism and joy of heart, that means you're not centered, because we all carry that same spark and we all carry that same innate aloha. We that joy, that optimism, that childlike energy, that enthusiasm. If you're not feeling that, then I would suggests that tools need to be tools and teachings need to be brought forth to teach you how to center and feel that heart energy, so you can always come from this place. And don't make these lists, these long laundry lists of why things can't happen, because all they are limitations and restrictions. You're creating barbed wire around yourself. Take the barb, you know, get a pair of pliers out and take that barbed wire down. All 99% of the limitations that exist around us are in the eyes of the beholder. So don't create it, and don't fear. I mean, that's fear needs to be let go of. And if you have a lot of fear, throw a blanket over your television. But don't allow other energies to become a dark rock within your ball of light. Don't let other energies create a dense matter for you. Be within your own center. Center. Learn to find a way to center. Find someone to help you center. Because we all have that center. We all have that wonderful, beautiful place to be. Now, I want to share a little story with you. And this, it may be a little disturbing. But I always tell my clients that, and I teach my clients how to center, and sometimes it takes a while, and sometimes it doesn't. But we find that center, and once a client finds that center, there is no way that they can't get back to that center again. And they usually, the more they live through the center, the more this energy pours through their whole being and pours outside of their body, and they can feel themselves glowing with their center. A lot of times people can't find their center because they have too much gobbledygook that's been conditioned in the head. We've been bamboozled too much, hoodwinked, conditioned to believe things. A client of mine had called me and had shared a very sad story with me. And the story was that a very good friend of hers had gone to what is considered a psychic. And that's a term I don't care for. And I don't, you know, I think it's kind of sensationalized, and it's a very strange term. But this woman had gone to a psychic, and she was told that she was a walk-in. Now, I'm a fan of X-Files, and that's when I first heard of the term, was in the X-Files, and this was years ago. And then I heard that, you know, this was taken, and it was expanded upon. And I'm not too sure where the roots are, because to me it's a term, and one shouldn't live within a term because it's obviously a human term, whether it was channeled or not. Walk-in is a very strange concept. And I always think that anything's possible. There's probabilities for everything. But I don't think that we need to contain ourselves to a specific term, especially if it creates a stigmatism for around ourselves. So this woman learns that she was a walk-in, and her whole life changed. She was not a happy person on this planet, and she had every right not to be happy because she was a walk-in. So she no longer lived through her ball of light, but because of what the psychic said to her, her life had become very disparaging. And the walk-in justified her inability to center from her heart, because, well, why should she? She was a walk-in, and if something like this could happen, then she had no control over who she was. So this woman went into further depression. She ended up, last couple of days, she committed suicide. And that's why I am very against using these terms and slinging out derogatory stigmatisms on people. Well, you're a walk-in, you know, you're from Palladia. You know, these are, we have to be so careful in the things that we say to each other. And our greatest gift that we can give is love, aloha. There's only one transformative force that exists in all of Gaia, and one transformative force that exists within the universe, and that's love. Love is the only transforming energy that can take something from one point and transmute it or transform it into a higher octave to bring out the center, the glow. And if love isn't part of somebody's working with you and it becomes ego to put forth a stigmatism, like you are bipolar for the rest of your life, this isn't an energy you really want to work with. But if someone comes from a place of love, then you can bet, you can bet all the diamonds in Africa that there will be transformation. Without love, I don't see how anything can transform. And without healers sharing that love, I don't see how anything can transform. In fact, I've never seen anything transform from hatred. I've never seen anything transform from guilt. I've never seen anything transform from the concept of sin, which in the original Aramaic language meant mistake. But I have seen miracles happen through love. I have seen miracles happen from people just spontaneously and naturally bringing forth their love. The best work that I have seen healers do is through love, which has transformed. I have never seen a healing process come from ego. Well, this is what I taught. I went to school for 12 years, and this is what you are, and this is what you're going to do. Well, how on earth can a person transform from that? Here's your prescription. I don't find that a transformative process. I don't find the revolving door of most of our Western medicine very transforming. I see it as very pat and very Newtonian. And there's a separation. The white coat creates a separation between you and the healing energies. And it's usually coming across an ego. And so how can anything heal when love doesn't become a part of that process? So within 2010, I would highly suggest that in anything that you do, make sure that there's a completion of self. Make certain, first of all, within the monad of your energy, you realize who I am as an individual. How am I differentiated from other people? Who am I outside of the mainstream? Who am I as an individual? What are your self-discoveries as an individual? What are your gifts and your talents? And a lot of it, you'll see, isn't paper that's hanging on the wall. What are your greatest gifts? I've worked with a woman in Los Angeles recently, and this woman had the most incredible gift of communication. She had an ability to, when she came into a room, she could, her very presence alone was like the sun coming down from the sky and entering this room. But she had this remarkable perception where she can look into an opposition within two things and find the bridge to that almost immediately. Meaning she could be very resourceful and she could bring forth a new manifestation, a whole new creative way of doing things. And this was a gift. So it's not necessarily what we learn in school, but it's the gifts that we have. And a lot of us have an ability to build for other people step by step. And that gift a lot of us have. We hear of people that are just cannot figure out how to accomplish the things we need to accomplish because we don't look at things in a step-by-step process. Well, first of all, you have to do this, then you have to do that, and then you do this. It's a step-by-step process. A lot of us want to get to the physical first. This is what I want, and how do I get it? Well, let's move forward a step-by-step process. And there's a lot of people who know how to do this naturally, who can certainly share this with people who don't know how to do this. So that would be a gift, and that's called a Master Builder Manifesto or Entrepreneur Par Excellence. Moving, helping others to manifest the things that they need in their life in a step-by-step process. So those are two gifts that that a human being can realize is inside of him or herself. And so what you want to do is go inside and say, who am I? What is my differentiation within the mass consciousness, the mass movement? Who am I as a individual, and what are my gifts? And we all have them. So there, don't set up these limitations of this long pendulum A list of saying, well, I don't have any gifts, because that's just not true, because we're in a highly gifted universe on a highly gifted planet, and the energies are pouring through you. Know what resonates with you the most. Bring that forth. So differentiate who you are. Have that inner self-discovery. Find that center. Go to that center. And that's where these answers are going to be. Then you're going to bring this forth in the two as an inclusion of other people. And keep in mind that nature never makes two things identical. Never. Nature doesn't like stuff like that. There's a sameness. But nature, even with identical twins, they're not really identical. There's a sameness. There's a sameness in species. But zebras, when no two zebras have ever been the same. So nature doesn't make two things identical, because each thing must differentiate itself as an individual connected to the whole. So what's very important this year is differentiate who you are as an individual. Go inside the center, go inside the heart, differentiate who you are as an individual, and then reconcile this within the masses. And that's what the two is asking. Bring forth your gifts. Bring forth your individuality, bring forth your passions into humanity, and share these gifts with each other. That's what it's about. And then the completion says, this will bring you joy. That's where the triad is complete. So many of you who will do workshops this year, go to lectures, teachers, or whatever it is that you're going to do, make sure that there's a completion process. Make sure that there is a completion within a triad of self, pairing up with others, and new beginnings of self, because that's what the final interval, the sweet spot, is all about, is creating the new beginnings through opportunity, through change and opportunity that actually vibrates out from heart. So please take a movement that is only in a triad fashion this year. Look at all changes as opportunity. Look at all changes as growth, because even if one sees a challenge exists only so that we can grow from it. And please, please, please keep this in mind, that it is a year of new opportunities. It is a year of having completion within those three major energies, the one, the two, and the three. which are the primary and most important patterns, the most important numbers that exist, and the most important patterns that exist within sacred geometry. Make certain that there's a completion in process. Don't hang heavy on the B side of the pendulum, and don't let the A side of the pendulum disappear inside of you, inside your heart. Make sure that you take that step forward as an individual who is differentiated, but can reconcile within the masses with your gifts, with your heart energy, and open yourself to the opportunities of change that will bring this. And remember, the one does have a zero on either side of it this year. And the one will feel, well, damned if I do, damned if I don't. So it's asking for the boundlessness of the universe, the infinite universe, to allow yourself to let go, to just release and let go of all these past fears and things that gobble you up. Go into this with heart energy and find that completion within the triangle. So I'm going to leave you now with the advice for 2010, and I do want you to know that my heart is with you, and I'm going to wish you a great 2010. Ayumi will return on the next session, and I will see you next month. Much maluhia and much aloha.